I tell you, we've got a great youth staff. Sarah leads up, and I have the privilege on Tuesday afternoons to praying with them. We've been praying for some time now that God would bring revival among our youth. When you study the history of God's movements throughout history, quite often they are initiated by young people. And so we are asking God to do a work among our junior high, high school, college, and young adults to bring revival that would not only spread throughout our church, but throughout the community. So join with us in praying for that. I'm Pastor JP. Thank you so much for being here. We are continuing in a study that we began some weeks ago on the master's teachings. We're looking at what Jesus had to say. We're looking right now at Luke chapter 12 about what does Jesus unpack for us as to how we're to live life abundantly, life that pays it forward, life that stores up treasures in heaven. Last week, Pastor Kenny just knocked it out of the park talking about how to deal with anxiety, because we live in a culture that is just filled with anxious thoughts. Do you ever feel like that? Do you feel like you're just walking around on a scale of 1 to 10 of anxiety? You're kind of at a 9, and maybe you actually think you're doing okay, and then there's one little thing that happens, and it pushes you to 10, and then it's like panic palace. That's true for us, but not just for us. That's been true in every generation. It was true when Jesus spoke, and he gave us these words of great hope and comfort about God's love for us, and how God cares for us, and how God wants us to seek the kingdom. Well, he continues in teaching in the passage that we're going to look at today and talks about where our focus should be, where our attention should be, and how we can live lives of real significance and purpose and an eternal preparation. So the title for our message today is Live Today Like Jesus Is Coming Back Tomorrow. And that will become very clear as we unpack the passage. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 35. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" And the Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It'll be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master's taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and to drink and to get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect, and in an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does the things deserving of punishment will be beaten with a few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that you love us. You have good words for us. May we receive your truth this morning. Speak to our hearts. Remind us of what is eternally true and ultimately true. May every person here see that you, Jesus, you're coming back. May we align our lives accordingly. May we be strong in the hope of what it will be like to be with you forever. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus is teaching. He's continuing a teaching that began actually back into Luke chapter 11. And he's been referring to God as our Father. He's been speaking about the fact that there are some ultimate realities we need to be responsible to. He's been talking about storing up our treasures in heaven and realizing that life is short, but eternity is long. And he reminds us, as Kenny unpacked for us last week, that when we get our focus off of what matters for eternity and we focus too much on the temporal, we get anxious because we're reminded of how much we're not in control of. And the fear of being out of control produces anxiety within us. This past week, I went to the doctor. I had my yearly physical. Everything's good. And before I met with the doctor, the nurse gave me a questionnaire to fill out. So I was sitting in the waiting room, and I fill out this questionnaire. And there were 10 questions, and every one of them had to do with mental health. Questions like, are you feeling anxious? Do you have suicidal thoughts? Are there people in your world that can help you in the case of an emergency? I mean, everything had to do with my mental health condition. And I handed the survey back to the nurse, and I said, well, that was kind of a pointed survey. And I mean, very soberly, she said, you will not believe how many people are coming in here depressed. How many people are just filled with fear? How many people are asking for a referral to a psychiatrist? See, that's the world we're living in. That's why the words of Jesus are so relevant, that we looked at when Jesus says, don't be anxious. Your Father cares for you. Your Father loves you. And Pastor Kenny helped us understand that when we can take our anxieties and cast them on God, when we can immerse ourselves in the love that God has for us, that's when we can live securely in this life, and then we can have energy to live for the life to come. So to understand the words of Jesus here, we got to first understand the context of God's love and seeking first the kingdom. God's love and seeking first the kingdom. Because the words where he talks about his soon return and the words for living today in light of his return, they flow out of the context of his words about dealing with anxiety and in words about understanding how much God cares for us and how much God loves us. You see, Jesus is helping us understand that the only way to live in the here and now is to live it in light of eternity. If you kind of picture, you have to use your imagination, I know, but if you could picture a line that comes through that door right there, it just kind of pierces through and comes all the way across the front of the stage here and goes all the way out that wall right there. That line, that's like eternity. See, God is eternal. No beginning, no end. Kind of let your mind wrap around that a little bit. But the Bible makes it very clear. God's infinite and eternal, and God created time. I mean, this is a weird way of thinking about it, but there was a time when there was no time. When God chose to create, time began, and the Bible makes it very clear that God is going to consummate everything, and time as we know it is going to come to an end. And so we live in what people call the space-time continuum. If you think about that line now, and I take my finger and I put it on a spot, that spot is all of human history. Everything from the beginning to the end, not just our age, not just the culture we live in now, but all time, all of human history. And see, the Bible is challenging us, and Jesus is challenging us here in this teaching discourse to say, we can live for the dot, or we can live for the line. We can live for the dot, or we can live for the line. If we live for the dot, we're going to be filled with anxiety because there's so many things outside of our control. And the fear of not being in control is going to fill us with anxiousness. On the other hand, we can live for the line. We can live for the things that are eternal. We can live for the King and for his kingdom. And Jesus says that not only stores up treasure in heaven, that gives us real purpose and abundance right now. See, Jesus is establishing this reality that God loves us, and that God has a kingdom plan, and he wants us to be immersed in his love, and he wants us to live purposely for his kingdom. Jesus has said, leading up to the passage that we're going to unpack, he said, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. You're valuable to God. I'm valuable to God. God cares about us. He cares everything about us. He sees us. Jesus said, the pagan world runs after all these things. Your Father knows that you need them. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Jesus said, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Jesus just gently reminds us of what is of eternal value and gently reminds us that when our eyes get off of that and we look at the dot, we just become overwhelmed with anxiety. And so we need to understand God's care for us, God's love for us, the value that we have for God, and turn our attention upon the things that really matter, the kingdom. And so Jesus shifts focus. So he shifts from the stuff that we shouldn't put our attention on, what we're gonna eat, what we're gonna drink, what we're gonna wear, who the president is, to what we should put our focus on, the king and his kingdom and his return. See, we have been designed to live in the kingdom. And if you are a kingdom citizen, but your focus is on this world, everything's gonna be out of whack. Some time ago, one of the vacations that we went on as a family, we did one of those crash courses in scuba diving, you know, where they come to the pool at the hotel you're staying at and they give you the scuba gear and you learn how to put the mask on and the breathing apparatus and the tanks on your back and you kind of practice in the pool and then they take you out to the ocean. Well, when you put all the gear on standing on the beach, you feel really awkward. It just doesn't fit right. It doesn't seem comfortable. You put your mask on and it's like your vision is kind of limited. But when you start to get into the water, what was uncomfortable actually becomes comfortable. And the mask, rather than something that obscures your vision, actually becomes something that you can see everything underwater with. Well, here's the deal. We've been designed to go deep into the love of God. And God has made us kingdom citizens to live in the kingdom of his love. But if we are kingdom citizens focusing on this life, we're going to have anxiety. So before Jesus starts to talk about the reality of his soon coming and how we ought to live in light of his coming, he establishes the baseline to say, be immersed in my love and take your focus off kind of what you're worried about onto my kingdom, and then it'll make great sense and it'll have absolute clarity in your perspective. So the first thing we need to understand is the context of God's love and the priority of the kingdom. Here's the second thing, and now Jesus is moving into what he's actually teaching, and that's the reality that he's coming back. That's actual factual, gang. This isn't up for debate. This is an opinion. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, unequivocally states, I'm coming back. He lets us know. He lets his early disciples know. In fact, it's kind of interesting. This was like a new kind of just thought as I was sitting there worshiping. Jesus is right there speaking to people. And then he says to the people he's speaking to, when I come back. Which means something had to happen between when he was speaking to them and the time that he'd be coming back. Well, we're looking back on the story and we know what happened. He went to the cross, he died, he was resurrected from the dead, he ascended to the Father's right hand, to a place above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He's reigning right now as our high priest, interceding for us. But one day, Jesus is gonna step out of eternity and come back. And he's told us he's coming back. And he says, this is how you ought to be living in the light of my return. And so what Jesus is going to tell us here is good stuff. It's going to help us be prepared. It's going to help us live with purpose. But we've got to wrap our minds, our hearts, our convictions around the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. This is reality, and it needs to affect our thinking and our perspective and our priorities and our decision-making. It needs to affect how we live right now. One of the things Jesus does, too, And we observe this as the pastors were getting together and we're talking about this passage and kind of how to wrap our service around what this passage is saying. When you look at it, there's a shift. Up until this time, when Jesus refers to God, he calls him our Father. Because when you know God is your Father, you know he cares about you and you know he loves you. And that's important and it's powerful and it's true. But in this section, he doesn't refer to God as our Father. He refers to God as our Master. See, as our Master, Jesus has commanded us to live in a certain way. As our Master, Jesus holds us accountable to live in a certain way. As our Master, Jesus says, this is how you're to be prepared for the fact of my soon coming. Jesus is coming back. And I looked up every passage in the New Testament where it talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ, which just, you know, side comment. It's interesting what you learn about the Bible when you actually read the Bible and not just take somebody else's word for it. So I want to give every person here permission, and not just permission, I want to encourage you. Don't just take my word for anything. Read the Bible yourself. Every passage in the Bible that talks about the second coming of Jesus equally speaks about it as great hope for those who love God and look forward to being with Jesus, and a warning for those who do not love God and are not living according to God's plan. Both hope and warning. And Jesus actually incorporates those into his teaching here about the reality of his second coming. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, he's the king who's gonna sit on his throne. He's gonna separate the sheep from the goats. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3-9, Jesus says, when he comes back, he's gonna punish those who don't obey God with eternal destruction. In Revelation 19, Jesus says that when he comes back, he's going to be the conquering warrior who defeats all the enemies of God and casts them into hell. Even in this passage that Jesus is speaking here, it says in verse 45, suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does the things deserving punishment, he will be beaten with a few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Jesus says there is a place assigned in eternity for the unbelievers. And Jesus said God is just because not everyone is gonna receive the same punishment of condemnation. Those who knew much are accountable for what they knew, and those who knew little are accountable for the little that they know. But everybody's accountable. On the other hand, Jesus presents his second coming as the blessed hope for those who love God and look forward to his coming. In Titus 2:13, it says, we are looking forward to the appearance of his coming, which is the blessed hope of the church. In 1 Peter 1, he says, there's gonna be great grace brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 3, he says, when Jesus is revealed, we're gonna be revealed with him in glory. In John 14, it says, when Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, and then he's gonna come back and bring us with him so that we can be with him forever. In Matthew chapter 24, it says at the end of the age, Jesus is gonna come back and gather all of his elect to be with him for eternal salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, it says, encourage each other with these words that Jesus is coming back. We're going to be caught up together with him and we're going to live with him forever. And in Philippians chapter 3, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. And from there, we're awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming back in power and is going to transform our lowly bodies into the conformity of his glorious body, that we will have these glorious bodies to inhabit the new heavens and the new earth. It is a great, hopeful, hopeful message. Jesus Christ is coming back. So Jesus says, how should you be living? How should we live today in the light of Jesus' soon return? That's a profound question. We need to ask it, we need to answer it, and we need to obey the answer. Jesus is teaching us here how to live in the light of his imminent, could happen anytime, return. And by the way, spoiler alert, he doesn't say buy a bunch of guns, store up food, and move to a remote place in Idaho. Jesus gives us three parables that talk about the master returning, and he's the master. And in the three parables, he tells us how we ought to live because the master's going to return. As we were talking about this past week with the pastors, Kenny said something, and I thought, man, that's profound. That's great. He says, you know what? Our greatest hopes fuel our greatest discipline. Our greatest hopes fuel our greatest discipline. So like the young guy that falls in love with the gal, his hope for a relationship, man, that fuels courting, romance, and doing everything he can to win her over. For the college student who wants to get good grades, that hope fuels discipline, going to class and doing their homework. For the person who wants to get into shape, that hope fuels going to the gym and working out. For the person who longs to be with Jesus Christ and look forward to his coming, that fuels the discipline to live now in light of the fact that could happen tomorrow. To live now in light of the fact it could happen tomorrow. How to live today in the light of Jesus' soon return. Jesus, through these three parables, gives us four ways that we ought to live because he's coming back. The first one, he says, be ready. Be ready. He says this, by the way, three times through the course of giving these three little short parables, three stories. Three times he says, be ready, be ready, be ready. He says, be ready. Have your lamps burning, in fact. And to understand that, you got to understand the culture of the day. A master, he says, is going to go on a journey. He's going to come back at any time. And he says to his servants, you know, be ready. Have your lamps burning. In other words, it could happen at night. So have everything lit up in the house and have you be standing outside with your lamp lit, waiting for it to happen. That means be available to do whatever the master wants you to do. Be ready to answer anytime he knocks. Be prepared and not have anything undone. See, we could have some things undone and not be ready. There could be some things in our life that are undone and we're not ready. You could not be ready because you're kind of like the prodigal. You're living in Sin City and you're the mayor. Just living a worldly life, but calling yourself a follower of Jesus. Well, you're not ready. You could not be ready because in your heart, you love the world more than you love the kingdom. That's right. You could not be ready because there's a relationship that you haven't made right. It's broken. It's unreconciled, and you haven't done all you can to make it right. Remember what Jesus said about that? Jesus said, if you go to present your offering at the altar and there remember that somebody has something against you and you've not done your part to make it right, what does Jesus say to do? Leave your offering and go make things right with that person. Be reconciled. See, if we have people in our life that the relationship's been broken and we haven't done our part to try to mend that relationship, we're not ready. We cannot be ready because we haven't followed through on something Jesus has told us to do. We heard God speak to us very clearly. Maybe it was through reading the word. Maybe it was in a worship service. Maybe it was at the men's retreat. God said something for us to do, and we still haven't done it. Maybe we're not ready because there's a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a loved one that doesn't know Jesus. And we've never taken the time to just tell them about God's love and God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. So God says, don't be not ready, be ready. I'm coming back and it can happen at any time. It might happen at night, it might happen in the day. Have your lamps burning, be ready. Jesus says, be watching. Be watching. It's a proactive looking. It's a reading of the times. It's being aware of what the Bible says. It's being aware of what's happening in the world. Be watching. The example of this is the Apostle Paul over in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do you long for the appearing of Jesus Christ? If you do, God says there's a reward. There's a special crown for that. Be watching. The word actually means don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep on your watch. When Don and I were newly into our marriage, we had our first son, Taylor, and Taylor was like 3 years old, and I had just become the pastor of a church in Thousand Oaks, and we were moving into a house, and we were renting a house while we were looking for another house, and we went out on a date, and one of the gals from the high school group at the church babysat Taylor. He's maybe 3 years old. And we went on this date, and we came back, and I realized, oh, you know what? I forgot the key to this house. And then Donna said, oh, man, I forgot the key. I don't have it either. So I said, oh, no problem. So we walked up to the front door, and we rang the doorbell, and there was no answer. So I knocked, no answer. So then I knocked real loud, no answer. So then I kind of yelled the babysitter's name. Hey, you know, we're here, home. We're locked out. Open the door. No answer. Now the panic is starting to rise a little bit. So now I go to a side window and bang on the window. Hey, come on, open the door. No answer. Now I go to the very back on the patio and I look through the kitchen window and I could just see part of the living room through the kitchen window and the babysitter's legs were kind of laying off the couch. And I'm banging and yelling, no movement. It's about that time that the reptile brain kind of just kicked in, you know? And I reached over and I grabbed one of the chairs of the patio furniture and I went, bam! And I just clashed through the glass. And I mean, I was like an acrobat. Whoom! I went through the window and I ran over to her and I shook her. I said, are you okay? Are you okay? And then she kind of like just really groggy. And then I ran back into Taylor's room where he was and he was sound asleep. He was okay. So then I came back and I said, what happened? I'm banging on the door. I rang the doorbell. I yelled your name. And then she went, oh, you know, I just went to the dentist today and I had braces on and my braces were hurting and my mom gave me the pain pill and I guess it just knocked me out. She fell asleep. She wasn't awake. Jesus says, don't fall asleep. Be awake. It's gonna happen. I am coming back. So be watchful, be awake, be prepared, be looking for it, be longing for it, be expecting it. Live proactively in the light of the fact that I'm coming back. Some years back early when we started Crossline, my wife Donna went on a mission trip with several of the women from our church, went with Y Malawi and the Gashes. They went to the country of Malawi, and they were gone for 2 weeks. That was the longest time we'd been apart. So she's been on this mission trip for 2 weeks, and I knew when she was going to be coming back, when the team was coming back to LAX. I drove up to LAX. I went into that international terminal, Bradley Terminal. I was there early. I'm waiting. I'm looking at my watch. I'm looking at the thing when the flights are coming back. I'm looking at every passenger that comes out of that. You know, they come up the ramp there. They've gone through customs and baggage control, and they come out. I'm waiting. Why? Because I miss my wife, and I wanted her to come back. And so I was watching everybody and everything until she came back. Our strongest hopes fuel our strongest discipline. Jesus says, I'm coming back. So be ready. Be watching. Here's a third thing. He says, be faithful. Be faithful. See, he says, this is the wise and faithful manager. And he gives a little parable. He uses that parable of the faithful manager several times. He spins it a little bit, he embellishes it a little bit in different teachings, but it's the same basic parable. And the parable is, there's an owner who has a bunch of stuff, and he puts the manager in charge of his stuff, and then he comes back to find out how the manager took care of his stuff. Jesus is the owner. He's entrusted to us, we're the managers, stuff. Well, stuff like time and relationships and family and a house and a car and a job and the money in the bank. It's all his stuff. It's not ours. Did you know that? It's his. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. He's the owner, we're the managers. Oh, by the way, that word manager, it's a word that from the word we get the economy or economics. I hated economics in college, by the way. But it's the word economia. It's also translated as steward or stewardship. If I told you I was going to be talking on stewardship, what do you think? What would you think I was going to be speaking on? Money. Money is just something we steward. Stewardship isn't about money. Stewardship is about management. Here Jesus says, we're not only stewards of money, we're stewards of everything the Master gives us. Everything that Jesus Christ has given to you, everything he's given to me, we're managers of it. And he's going to come back someday and evaluate our management. So he says, be faithful. Be faithful. Use, invest, steward everything that Jesus has given you to get the best heavenly return, to bring him the greatest glory, to advance his kingdom to the greatest capacity. I told you a couple messages ago about the rock star who used to go to our church. Used to be in Lincoln Park, the family. Great people, very generous. They had a cabin up at Lake Arrowhead. Now, when I say cabin, don't think cabin. Think mansion. You know, one of those places on Lake Arrowhead that are just like, you know, mansions. They had one of those kind of places. They were super generous. They let us use it often. And every time we went there, we would always think we wanted to leave it cleaner than when we found it. Because one, it wasn't ours, and two, it was really nice. That's what management's all about. It's not yours, but you're blessed to be able to use it, so you want to treat it the best you can. That's our life. That's our time. That's our treasure. That's our relationships. That's our opportunities. That's our decision making. Just do the best we can for God, for his glory. Be faithful. And here's the fourth thing that Jesus says about how to live today in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back. He says, be obedient. Be obedient. He says here, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Just be doing what he says to do. That's what he says. Do what I say to do. So whatever Jesus has told you to do, do it. We have here, by the way, a lot of things that we're told to do. But I'll be really honest. I doubt if there's anyone in here, and I know I'm not in that position, where I know this so thoroughly, I know everything that's in here, and I'm doing everything that's in here. But I'd be willing to bet that every one of us knows something that Jesus has told us to do. You remember this book came out some, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years ago. It was called Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And it's kind of a cute little, you know, folksy story. And the author talks through all the different things that you learn in kindergarten about being kind to people and holding hands and looking before you cross traffic, and cookies and milk are good all the time, and it's good to have a nap, and goes through this little list of things and basically says, man, everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten. If I just lived like that, life would be successful. Well, Jesus had his version of that. He said all the law and the prophets, everything written in the Bible, could be summed up in these two commands. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So whether you know most of what's in here or just a little bit of what's in here, if you know this, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors, you love yourself. If you do that, you will do what Jesus commanded. And so Jesus says here, I'm coming back, and it could happen at any time. So be obedient to what I've told you to do. Love God and love your neighbor. Oh, and by the way, in each of these four things, be ready, be watchful, be faithful, be obedient. In each of them, in the parable, Jesus includes a word of reward and blessing. He says, it'll be good for the person who does this. I will give them even greater possessions to the person who does this. I will have them recline at the table, and I will serve them to the person who does this. So get this. Jesus not only tells us how to live in light of the fact that he's coming back, he says, it will bless us if we do. So he doesn't say, I'm coming back, so you better just sacrifice. Take up your cross. Live a life that you hate living, but you know, eternity's longer than this life, so just do it anyway. No, he says, you'll be blessed. See, Jesus, throughout Luke 11 and Luke 12, is talking about living for eternity. Living for what really matters. Not being consumed with the anxiety of focusing on the stuff we can't really control anyway. But resting in God's love, casting our burdens upon him, seeking his kingdom, being fully aware of and convinced that he's coming back. He's coming back. And living today like it happened tomorrow. So in this moment, I really want us to reflect on that. Because this is truth. This is ultimate truth. Jesus Christ is coming back. And he wants us to live in the light of that. So in this space, before we all say in Jesus' name, amen, and leave, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit, God, what does that mean to me? If I really considered that, if I really believed that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, how would I live today? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about that? Let's just take some time and hear what he says to us about that. And then we'll close our service in worship. Father, thank you for being such a good God, good Father who loves us and wants us to rest in your love. And Master, who tells us that you're coming back and calls us to be ready. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to each of us as to what that means for us, how to live today, how to be prepared today, how to be watchful today, how to be ready today, how to be obedient today. And Lord, I pray for anyone who's thinking, I'm not ready because I don't even know Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, God wants to come into your life and give you the hope of salvation. Just turn to him. Say, Jesus, I repent of living my own life apart from you. Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart, and be the king of my life. Help me live for you today and forever. God, thank you that you are such a good father and such a true master. We love you. We worship you. We thank you that you're coming back. In Jesus' name, amen.